Blog Talk Radio.
95% of our life is coming from the programs of life, how to live life that we get in the first 7 years of life. That's why poor people stay poor and rich people stay rich. The movie The Matrix is not science fiction. It's a documentary. Every human, and this is a fact, every human first 7 years is download, a hypnosis. The brain of a child under seven is in a lower vibrational frequency. When you put wires on a person's head, you read electroencephalograph, reading brain activity. A child below seven has a lower vibration than consciousness. It's called theta. Theta is imagination. Oh, that's how kids play a tea party with mud pies, but to them it's a real thing. A kid rides a broom, it's a horse. That's theta, imagination. Theta is also hypnosis. And the idea is this: before you can become conscious, if you don't have any programs, what are you going to be conscious of? So nature makes the first 7 years. What kind of programs are required to live on this planet? I say, how do you get them? Theta is hypnosis. You just watch. You watch your parents, you watch your siblings and your community, because you have to learn how many 100,000 rules. Think about it. Just to be a functional member of a family and a functional member of a community, there are rules. Teach an infant these rules. It's like, oh, you don't have to. First 7 years, they observe it and just download it. Look, this is not new. I mean, there's the famous book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And basically said, you come from a poor family and you could struggle your whole life and try to get rich, but you're not going to make it. And if you come from a rich family, you could be stupid your whole life and make it. Not because it was thinking, but it was unconscious behavior that was downloaded from rich families into kids, which is unconscious. So they're making the right moves unconsciously. If they engage their conscious mind, then they look stupid, but it's unconscious. And that's the same thing with poor people. Poor people have beliefs from the family. Oh, you can't make it. Life's a struggle. Things are hard. Who do you think you are? And if that's the program you get, then 95% of the day, you will sabotage yourself. And that's why poor people stay poor and rich people stay rich, because of the programming. 95% of our life, this is a fact, comes from those programs in the subconscious. Every day, only about 5% of the life are you using conscious, which is creative. 5%.
So your life is being lived, even though you think you're living your life.
Exactly, and you don't see it because it's called subconscious, below conscious. And the Jesuits, for 400 years, they were boasting. People didn't understand. They say, give me a child until it's seven and I will show you the man. They've been saying that for 400 years because they knew 7 years was the program period. And 95% of your life after that will be whatever that program is. So you don't have to try and think about what happened. I just say, look at your life. The things you like that come into your life come in because you have a program that supports them. But anything you struggle with, work hard at, put a lot of effort into making it happen, why you're working so hard, inevitably, you have a program that doesn't support that conclusion and you're trying to override the program. So you don't need to do a lot of strength and psychology stuff. You just look at your life and say, where am I struggling? Because wherever you're struggling, inevitably it's a program in your subconscious that does not support that destination you've been looking for. The conscious mind is creative and can learn in any number of ways. Read a self-help book, go to a lecture, listen to this program, and conscious mind's going to get some awareness. And I go, yeah, but subconscious mind doesn't learn that way. I go, right, it doesn't. Subconscious mind learns in two fundamental ways naturally. Hypnosis, which is the first 7 years. And after age seven, how do you put new programs in? Repetition. Practice. You want to drive a car, you didn't learn how by just getting in the seat and put the key in. You had to practice driving the car. You want to learn the alphabet. How many times did you go from A to Z? Try to go to A to Z before you can complete it. And once you completed it, you didn't have to go back and do it again. So two phases. You want to train the subconscious mind? Hypnosis. Repetition. I like the last one because there's a new phrase that's bandied about called fake it till you make it.
Mm.
Meaning, if you're not a happy person, I say you want to be a happy person, then repeat all the time, I'm happy, I'm happy. I say, well, you don't look happy or anything. I say, no, who am I talking to? By repetition, I'm talking to subconscious. If subconscious gets, I am happy, and 95% of your life comes from that subconscious, there will be a point once the subconscious got, I am happy, you don't have to say it again.
Okay.
It'll be automatic.
And that's why we see people do affirmations and gratitude journals and stuff, because if you do that daily...
It's repetitive. That's the secret part. Putting a sticky note on the refrigerator is more like a suggestion, but it's not a repetition. So it doesn't work very well. But you have to do... Repetition is a habit. It's making habits. So you got to do something religiously in the sense of repeating it, repeating it, repeating it to make it work.
I'm going to talk to you today from the subject,
a technique that does
the trick. And remind you also that I don't let my subject interfere with what I have to say. A bit of definition for a moment. Let's define the word technique. Technique, a method of accomplishing a desired aim. A method of accomplishing a practical purpose. Technique, a method of accomplishing a practical purpose.
So today I'm going to talk about a method and methods of achieving and maintaining health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money. And of course, we're always talking about this because the science of living, as we call it, is a technology of living. And we're constantly giving you practical ways and means of accomplishing your good aims. I want to share with you this subject from a success idea by the same name, a technique that does the trick. And I want to talk about the success idea for just a moment. Everything in your life comes from the ideas in your mind. And you're never going to get any further in life than the ideas in your mind. And each month, I publish what I call a spoonful of positive ideas for you to feed to your mind, to nourish it, so that it will be strong in achieving the purpose that you desire. A success idea can take anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes to read. But when you take this extra time each day to read and to study and to contemplate upon a powerful idea, it will make a difference in your life. Because again, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In this success idea, technique that does the trick, I refer to a very interesting technique used by a very rich and successful man, the way he begins his day. I didn't name him in the success idea, but I'll tell you who he is now. It's W. Clement Stone, and he uses the term PMA, positive mental attitude. And it is said that he begins his day, every day, by saying, I feel good, I feel great, I feel terrific. And I'm sure that if some purely intellectual people were to hear a grown man, a business executive, a multimillionaire going around shouting, I feel great, I feel good, I feel terrific, they'd probably say, well, you know, maybe we'd better commit him. He's old and senile. But more than that, for years, Mr. Stone, in his organizational meetings and salesmen's meetings, he would teach his sales staff and his organizational people to sing that old Sunday school song, I feel the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And all of this which I'm explaining is the technique by which one pumps up his feelings. And may I say to you that you should make it a practice every day, and especially in the mornings, to pump up your feelings. Whatever you can do to lift up your feeling nature will lift up your entire experience of life. I want to repeat it again. Whatever you can do to lift up your feeling nature will lift up your entire experience of life. If listening to a particular piece of music makes you feel better, that too is a spiritual mental technique. So many times, you know, people divide between the so-called spiritual and the secular without really understanding the mind science behind things. And may I say to you, whatever is good and right, and it does not hurt you and it does not harm anyone else, but it helps you to lift up your feeling nature, that is a good spiritual technique. Wherever people get together and rejoice, that's good. That's a good spiritual mental technique for lifting up your feelings. And of course, this is really the meaning in the Bible where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You see, the serpent crawls on its belly, and the belly represents the feeling nature. And you should not go through life crawling on your belly. In other words, with your feelings low. Feeling low. And you remember, for the healing of the people, Moses was instructed to make a brazen serpent and hold it up. And everyone who would look up would be healed and would live. Again, as I said, it really means that we're not to go through life crawling in our feeling nature, but we are rather to lift up our feeling nature, to lift up our hearts, to lift up our minds, to lift up our emotions. And we are to do those things which do not harm us and which do not harm anybody else, which help to lift up our feeling nature. You've got to learn how to be high on happiness. Very wonderful television minister in this area preached a sermon, I believe, once on television. That was the title of it, How to Be High on Happiness Every Day. So every day you should ride a mighty high. You should lift up the serpent. Lift up your feelings. Again, that beautiful psalm bespeaks this when it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And whatever makes you feel low, like a serpent crawling on its belly, you should leave it alone and lift up your feelings. You should not even go back into your past and think upon those bad experiences in the past that make you feel low. Stop thinking about that dirty deal that SOB did you last year. It makes you feel low. Be careful how you read that newspaper. For God's sake, don't listen to that news before you go to sleep. That 11 o'clock news will give you a lethal dose of bad vibration. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should live. Again, to define the technique that I'm talking about, it's a technique of lifting up your feelings. You know, I told you that life meets you like you meet life. You see, and you should meet life with a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness, a feeling of the expectation of good. You know, some of you are like Brother Job. Sometimes in preaching on Job, the fundamentalist minister would use the subject, why do the righteous suffer? In other words, that's what they're trying to find. Why do good people suffer? And as I've told you, and it bears repeating here, you can be morally straight, but mentally crooked, and you'll suffer. You can be morally and ethically straight and correct, but if you do not know how to positively relate to your emotions, the processes of your mind, you will suffer. And this is what happened to Job. I wonder what happened to him too. And then I listened to him. As I told you, when people talk to me now about whatever the problem is, this is why I don't have long sessions talking to people about their problems anymore. In the first place, within the first few seconds, I can tell why they're having those problems. And one of the reasons they're having those problems is because they think about them and talk about them. And when you think about your problem all the time and talk about it all the time, this feeds it. It gets bigger and eats you up. I listened to Job. And I heard him say, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. So that's what got Job, the thing. So he didn't even know what the hell it was. Just like some of you, you don't know why the hell you feel so bad. But you're going around crawling on your belly, feelings dragging in the dirt. Go to the psychiatrist for 10 years and pay him umpteen thousand dollars, and he still doesn't know. And these psychiatrists, they have to find some techniques also, you know, to throw off that stuff you put on them. I can tell you a little about this. It's been my pleasure to share with the psychiatrists at Harvard Medical School, Department of Psychiatry in Boston. One of my friends, a psychiatrist, told me that at their last convention, the psychiatrist drank more liquor than any convention in the history of that hotel. I won't tell you what city and what hotel. Now, that technique is not a technique that works. That's not the one that I'm talking about. That's not the technique that I'm recommending to you today. You should not have to depend upon alcohol and drugs to get your mighty high. Because when you do depend upon these things to get your mighty high, you haven't found the real thing yet. Because when you really find the real thing, the presence, the power of God within you, that is the highest high. Job said, "The thing I greatly fear has come upon me." Why are some people so fearful? Why are they feeling dragged in the ground? Some of them don't know. It's just a thing. But why do you feel so bad? I don't know. Your expensive psychiatrist, he doesn't know. You just feel bad. You have to learn how to lift up your feelings, to lift up your emotions.
Protect your temple with the Solomon's Temple.
Peace, God. What's going on?
Hey, peace, God. How's everything?
Everything good, man. How's everything with you?
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. Yes, everything good. Everything good.
Yeah,
I'm supposed to. Everything taking me to my next level.
Yep.
You know?
All the time. Yeah, everything going, man. I have great things happening so far, man. And it keeps happening. That's important with Reverend Ike said. You have to lift up yourself.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes. Nobody does it enough. And you know,
they hardly do it. They lift up problems.
That's right.
They want to talk about what somebody did to them.
That's
right. I got caught up doing that before. And I realized you keep talking about that thing. It make you sick talking about it, you know? Like, why am I even talking about this? You ever talk to somebody about, you didn't talk to about five different people about the same problem. By the time you get to the fifth people, you start to say to yourself, this don't even make any sense that I keep talking about this. You know,
the funny thing is, it's been scientifically proven that doesn't work anyway. Talking to people.
What? No, it don't
work. Because
it
shows that, I mean, this is a scientific proof. It has nothing to do with changing anybody.
Nope.
You know what I mean? But what does change people is pain and trouble. But now, people then got so much into this with the pain and trouble. And this is, the world has become very, the men have become very feminized. Really?
Yes.
Men.
Oh, man.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
It's terrible.
Now, I know.
Let me ask you a question. I got to ask you something. Do you find it easier to deal with the females than to deal with the men?
Yeah. Why
when you're dealing with conflict. I mean, because what I'm finding with the men is when they have a problem, they resort to social media, emails, and backbiting behind your back instead of dealing with what you had on. Whereas the sisters will tell you to your face a lot of times. They'll be snapping their head or whatever, but at least they come to you straight up. You know, they have, it's like the roles have reversed.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a T-shirt right now. You know what I'm saying? It's really bad. It's better than what it is. And, you know, right now, it's working for women because they, you know what I'm saying, it's working for them because they been used to doing both roles anyway. But now,
yeah,
these brothers are just, they, you know, you can't talk to them. They sensitive. They're like, you know, it's not, I'm not saying it like it's a bad word, but it's like, man.
I got another word. They act like bitches, man.
That's right.
That's the real word.
You know, a negative side. You know, and I hear women tell me that every day. I think I heard yesterday a sister told me that, and I hear so often. How my husband? He's a bitch. He said that. And, you know, women hate that word, man. They don't like that word. Some of them don't. And she said, "Yeah, mm-hmm. like a bitch." And then, like the girls, you know, it's you know what I'm saying? It's like that's some of the stuff I've been hearing brothers talk to me about. It's like it's the young guys, you know.
Yes.
It's the young guys, man. I mean, it's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked at this is the only thing that's going to correct us, that the brothers are going to have to stand up. They're going to have to stand up and you know, they're going to have to get tougher skin, you know, because, like, back in the day, you know, your granddad and them kids, like, man, be a man. You know,
mm-hmm.
but not, you know,
they don't have that. They don't have that.
Just get broke down, and so like you know, it's really bad, and I've been observing it for a few years. You know, the brothers gonna have to do better, and I, you know what I'm saying, I mean. It's like all the brothers that, you know, if you ain't got it, you need to be wearing Tiger's Eye, Pyrite, you know what I'm saying? Some stones. You know, we got herbs that boost your testosterone up. You need to be drinking those. You know, you have to tap into that because society has taught you to get jobs. You don't need to be masculine, you know, but that's, you know, a masculine man don't give a damn what society say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, Trump you know, that's how a man supposed to be. Whether I agree with what the hell he's doing or not, you know, whether I like him as a human being, but he's doing the number one fundamental thing. He don't give a damn what I think about it.
That's where a man's supposed to be.
You know, you caring. You know, with people, who cares? I mean, he don't care. He's oblivious to it and to the point, to a fault, but it's a good fault to have, you know.
Uh-huh.
You don't care what somebody's opinion say. I mean, the whole planet, majority of the planet hate this guy, and he's unbothered by it, unmoved, unafraid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just, you know, and then you got these brothers counting likes, who likes them, you know, and you know, women don't even like it themselves. They don't like when brothers act like.
Nope, that's a bad trait to have. And have your woman feel like that about you? She don't let you lack respect for you. She won't get you. You lose respect. Yep.
And I ain't talking about the boy, the so-called thug boy. Cause that's a hysterical woman. I ain't talking about that. You know, a brother that make a big thing, that is crazy. That ain't nothing but a hysterical. My mama act like that, but she get mad. You know, you know.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about a dude that just act, you know, just loud and acting crazy. I'm talking about an inward thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would, the elder men are even like, if you look at the, they had somebody showing the video, it was funny. He was showing the animals, because they didn't domesticate us to this point. you know, they're doing us what they did to animals. Like, you got men literally taking pictures with putting their heads in lions' mouths. That's symbolic on how they then they made the black man so domesticated, so comfortable. They're just comfortable, just, you know, the non-threatening Negro, you know. It's so, you know, in fact, you know, these brothers going doing so much and complaining so much, but there's so many things that's happening, even though people in their feelings about Trump, there's a lot of opportunities that's happening with black people in their feelings, you know. There's so many things that's happening now. Because I was listening to, you know, this white guy was talking about how much he don't like Trump. But he was like, man, it's so many laws that he said, what the hell you going to do 20 years from now when your kids say, why are you going to take advantage of the laws and the tax things that Trump has passed? Oh, I guess you're going to tell your kids you just talking about how much you hate him and missed out on opportunity, you know, instead of looking at the laws that he changing and take advantage of them tax things, you know. Because it is the difference in the taxes, you know, on the corporate side. This is perfect time to be taking advantage of a lot of the things that you be talking about, you know, with your life. But people, I mean, they're not taking advantage of it. They're too busy in their feelings, and your feelings will hurt you, not just your health, but it'll hurt you in so many different ways. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, the kids, you know, they're starting school now too, which is a, you know, a good thing, you know, because it that school system they're putting them through is actually helping develop them. But we got to show our kids how to use this crap. It's part of the journal, because there ain't no curriculum in school. The curriculum is within life, you know. That's for so many years, you know, because, you know, talking to people don't do nothing to them. That's why I be urging people to get their readings done, you know. Listeners have been doing a good job calling in for their health. Getting the health products. But I urge the younger listeners, you know, it may not be as meaningful for an older person unless they try to figure out something on the spiritual tip. But definitely the younger people need to see on how to maximize their gifts, how to use their gifts. Because these gifts ain't developed in the school system, other things are developing in this Western school system. When they're going to bring out these gifts, your reason for being. You know, a lot of people not navigating like they could navigate. You know, there's a best version of yourself. They are the best versions. And most people are not even aware of the gifts they got and the gifts that they can develop that they have that they're not even using, you know. And we go along complaining, and then they say, no, we missed out on opportunity. This stuff should be actually given to children early in their life. The earlier the better, the parent can help guide their child, because we do them for young people, you know. But for young kids, and it's essential because we let these so-called school systems to take our kids, tell us our kids are not smart, but everybody's smart. All children are smart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
I got a question for you. Oh, a little off topic.
Okay.
You have a child with cataracts. How do you correct that?
Okay. We have an eyewash for that. The eyewash works for children and grown-ups. We take internal herbs. Then you take internal herbs. Okay? You got to make sure that the bloodstream is right. Always the bloodstream and the liver. We're dealing with the eye, we're going to deal with the pancreas and the liver. Okay, so those regions need to be pure. Then we use our eyewash. But if you don't focus on the pancreas, the blood, and the liver, you're not going to get the result. Okay? So you work on those two regions. Along with the eyewash. We take an eyewash in the morning. Then at night, then we increase the frequency to twice a day and three times a day. You only start off doing it once a day because as you do it, pus going to start and mucus going to start coming out of your eye. You'll wake up with your eyes bleed together sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do it, your eyes start pulling it out, then your sight going to freeze. And your eyesight will improve. Now, you also can do like simple things. Besides eyewash, eyewash is really, really good for eyesight. It's good for a lot of things. You can also take castor oil drops and put it on your eye. Then it dissolves cataracts. Good quality
castor
oil drops. Yeah, they're not castor oil drops, but just regular castor oil. You can drop lemon juice. That'll do it. You can take basil seeds and lotus seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Place it in your eye while you sleep. The basil seeds were really good, but they fail to put in your eye. You put three in your eyeball, and as you sleep, the eye is going to go back and forth. It's going to take the cataract off. You know, your eyes move while you sleep. And these seeds they're going to be covered in gunk in the morning. Those pulling out in your eyes, you know. There's a species of aloe. It's a little hard. It gives lots of aloe trees, and you can take the aloe leaves and put it over your eye too. That'll take the cataract too. It's the it's lots of ways you can pull it out. But we use our eyewash because, like I said, the seeds can be kind of difficult. And like you just wash your eye, blink your eye. As you pull it in your eye and you blink your eye like you're doing your wash. The funny thing about it, it has cayenne pepper in it. It's kind of, funny. Because people get funny at the cayenne pepper. What the hell? No contact in my eye. I remember my grandfather was teaching me the eyewash formula. And I just kept going on about the cayenne pepper. It ain't a lot of it in there. And just kept going on, and he got mad at me. Because I guess he's like, I've been doing this for 50 years, and he's questioning me. And he took some cayenne pepper and just flooded in my eyes. And my eyes got so, I mean, my eyes got so watery, and they just ran, and then he looked at me, and then he said, "Now, did a kid do?" I was so mad at him. And my eyes were so clear, so bright. You know what I'm saying?
That's
just
some cayenne pepper.
Just some cayenne pepper. You know, and he was trying to be mean to me. Did it kill me? You know, your nose be running. You know, but that's it, though. You know, it worked good. You know, we have a lot of key plants, you know, that help with pulling infection out your eye and just really regenerating your eye, you know. Bayberry, barberry, cayenne pepper, red raspberry. This common herb a lot of people talk about, eye blight, golden seal, you see. You can also drink the eye former, you know. It helps internally with the eye too. And what it does is it works on the optic nerves, the cornea, the blood that's in the eye, you know, and it forms that, you know. A lot of diabetics have trouble with their eye. They have a lot of trouble with the blood vessels in their body. And it affects your eyes and the optic nerves. It works really good. I had this one lady, she called me, and the sister in Florida told me that her doctor couldn't believe that her eyes had regenerated. And he said that I just practiced for 29 years. You only see two people's eyes regenerate for macular regeneration, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the two people that we seen. I was practicing for 28. I don't know what the other person did, you know, but it was, he said, I just practiced with two people. You know, they wanted to do a surgery on it, and she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to trust the knife. The funny thing is, I trust surgery before I trust drugs. You know, your body heals. It's hard to kill the body. The body has an amazing healing unless you're diabetic. Unless
right.
you're diabetic. If you're diabetic, your healing factor is not as fast, and that's why you have to eliminate your diet. And do the work to you know, a lot of people don't want to do the work. You know.
That's the major issue right there.
You can't do the eye wash one time. And you say that, you know, it can happen, but it's not likely to happen the first time. We have to do the work. It took time, you know, to get our bodies to this point, and it's going to take time to correct it. I wish it could be, but I've never seen a scab or an injury heal. And you know, even paper cuts take time. You know what I'm saying? The body has a healing process that the body must undergo it. And they're gonna be faster. You know, and that's what we call cancer. You know,
right?
Yeah. So how old is the child?
About five-ish, five?
Mm-hmm.
No.
See, And see, that's what I was thinking about. See, your body, we all in. Yeah, you know, this mess that the kids going through now is a part of their school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more to it's a cultural spirit they have to fulfill. But we all go through cycles, and with these kids learning now, that's why the parents got to be really working on what their child are and what they intuitively see in their child. Because the first 28 years of your life is your seed cycle. This is the foundation for you. The first 7 years, scientifically, but spiritually, it's the first 9 years of your life. Which is a pinnacle, which is a very significant spiritual cycle. The first 28 years is we look at that as the seed cycle. Then 28 to 56, we look at it as fruit. Then 56 remaining your life, we look at that as the harvest. Now, you know, you definitely want to get you. It's so important to get these for you so you can learn how to navigate in these bodies, in these, within your soul. Because what you'll notice is, if you listen to everybody you're talking to, they all trying to heal this inner child that's within them. We all trying to heal this inner child. Somebody said something when I was 7. I got molested. It's a fundamental by design things that happened during those years. You know, good that child get in the fight. It's good that people fucking with them. It's our role to show them how to deal with it. You can imagine what Donald Trump, them parents, the type of schooling and education he had to get for him to be so comfortable with so much hate in him. Just comfortable in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that. You can learn from people that you can't stand. You know? Because he's a character. You know? He's doing a lot of a mess of things, but it's a lot you can learn from him. It's like the brother who I love a lot. I mean, I really love his book, Dr. Clement Stone. Was an amazing man as far as mental science go, because he was always positive. He has this thing that he used to say, that no matter what you're going through, there's an equivalent benefit. You just have to find it, no matter what the hell going on. You see? Well, we have to do the same thing. But all these things need to be learned within, as best as you can learn it the earlier, as best as you can learn it within your first cycle. It's very important. So it won't be as hard now. So now we're trying to retrain the mind by being repetitious with these things and talking about them and revisiting this way of thinking, you know. The positive mental attitude, loving yourself, looking at all your gifts and focusing on that and letting it go, looking at what's right in your life and letting it go, you know?
Yep.
But you have to reprogram
yourself. To get rid of one program, you got to reprogram yourself for something else. And that's the biggest issue that most people have. They don't want to get rid of old habits. I mean, even the smallest thing that you do,
It could be just how you get up in the morning and eat at a certain time, and all of those are connected to those programming. So you got to actually disrupt your whole life style, the way you got up or went to bed at a certain time. You got to change that whole programming in order to change the programming. Because anything that's connected to the old programming is always going to bring back the old programming. And that's the part that people want to do. They want to custom make their, you know, they want to custom make themselves, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to keep this old stuff. Nah, you got to get rid of all of it. You know, you got to get rid of it all in order to get something new. Everything got to go in the garbage. I mean, even friends and family got to be thrown away. But people don't want to realize that. And these are people that go to church, but they don't understand how the scripture is really talking about the mind when it says a one woman will be left behind in the field, and one would be taken away. That's really talking about the old you versus the new you. You got to leave the old back in that field and take the new one gets to go, you know? You know, you got to understand the duality of the message. The message is talking about you have to get rid of all them old-ass habits. You want to stay in the field, that old person going to stay in the field, but the new person going to get out of the field. You said, but they don't understand that everything that's associated with that old crap you've been dealing with got to go. And too many people holding on to little this and little that, and them little things will bring back the old stuff quick. You know, if you're a person that go to bed at a certain time at night, this is my program. I'm going to bed at a certain time at night. You got to change that. It's that deep. You got to change it in order to change everything. Because, you know, me, I don't got a particular time I go to bed. I don't got a particular time I get up. I get up, I might get up 3 o'clock in the morning and start reading and doing some work. And usually best time I can get stuff done.
That's how you get something done. That's how you get something done. Like at night or in the morning?
In the morning, 3-4 o'clock is when I get my best work done. When I try to do something during the day, it's hard to stay focused, you know, get it done. I can get stuff done, but I started get up, get distracted. You know, a thought take me somewhere else, especially when you're on a computer trying to do something. One window, you open up another window, and you on something far away from what you tried to do. It's just, but at night, it's just like everything just flows together at once, and I can get it done.
That's how I am. Right now, from a health perspective, it's the worst. But man, when it comes to creativity, it's a spiritual side to doing them hours at night. The doing creativity, it's been scientifically proven that that's what creativity starts. The crazy people operate during them hours. That has been scientifically proven. We know that the most successful people don't sleep that much. They nap during the day. The crazy people are sparked during them hours when people got their eyes glued to the TV or something.
Yep.
It's a spiritual, it's a spiritual component to it.
Yep. That's how I get most of my stuff done. Now, I don't do that every night because you can't stay up all night every night. But certain days during the week, it's like I might have something I need to work on. You know, I might say, I'll get it done by next week. But then it only takes me 30 minutes to get what I need done, which I could have done earlier. But it's a certain day, certain time, and I get it done. It's like it's a flow of energy happening at that time that get me to produce my most superior work, you know? Oh, he got dropped.
see if she gets back in. Hold on, y'all. Let me get him back in. He dropped off. What's happening? Hang on. Just a second. Yeah, you dropped off there.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but you totally on point with that. That's a crazy time period right now. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the time I get everything done, and it's a certain day and a certain time I can get it done. About 2 days out of the week, I could wake up and do my best work. Most of the stuff that I have that I created. Well, just about all of it came around that time, and they've been most successful. You know? You just got to know yourself. You know, you got to know how you are. You got to know what triggers you to get pissed off to say the most jacked up thing, you know, and be careful, you know, and let people know, hey, you know, that's not a good time for me to talk about that right now. Let's do something else. You have to know yourself because you will get upset. You know, ain't no walking around the world totally zenned out. That's impossible. Not with all of the obstacles we got to navigate, you know, every day on a daily basis. It's just you have to know yourself to know what pitfalls to step into and what pitfalls not to step in as much as possible. But you're going to flip every now and again.
Oh, yeah. That's a part of life.
You're going to flip. Yeah,
if you don't, you're going to be shooting up some people like them crazy people on TV.
You got to release. Somebody got their hand up. You only got a few minutes left. Whoever this is got their hand up. We're talking about health topics. If it's on something else, I'm just talking to whoever got their hand up. 864-340.
Hey, peace and power. How you guys doing?
Peace and power.
Doing good. All right.
Great. Yeah,
how you doing?
Did I hear you? My name is Equanif Family. I'm calling from South Carolina. I know you guys said that you didn't have much time, so I won't be long-winded. But, brother, did you say you were speaking about health?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And they go hand in hand, and I guess that's what kind of drawed me into, I guess, this particular discussion is the actual Eye of Ra. And anytime I see, anything dealing with our culture, you know, I try to mind that business. And, you know, what we are putting into our brains, and my wife and I were having this conversation yesterday, is equivalent to what we put in our mouths. As we're talking about soul food, you know, we're talking about our education.
Mm-hmm.
We can be eating garbage, you understand?
That's right.
Mentally. We can sit down and watch TV on Facebook, watching crazy stuff. And, you know, even when we're looking at, we want a more organic, you know, food, you know, and not only physical food. When we're talking about, we want a more organic, non-GMO. Don't give me no genetically modified TV show, you know, something that's going to take me away from my organic nature. Give me something that's going to help solidify and secure me to my organic nature, because us as black people, we're all over the place right now. And I think this discussion is going to be a much-needed discussion as it relates to surrounding a culture with this type of discussion. Mm-hmm. We not only need to talk about it, but now where we're going and we're working together with each other. There's a brother up the road has a martial arts. There aren't many black people that are there, but we're doing these type of healthy things. And then growing our gardens. You know, we're growing. And I think once we do these things and participate, but you're not going to grow a garden if you don't eat vegetables, you know. So this is the reason to start to cultivate, start to do our own thing. When you grow your own garden, now whatever you don't eat for yourself, you have created a market to be able to sell and provide for yourself, rather than going and asking the white man for a job and getting pissed off because he's not treating you right. These are That's conversations right. of self-sustainability and, you know, providing for yourself in a high-quality manner. So, like I said, I'm not going to be long-winded. So, you know, this is, you know, these are just my comments on the topic.
I appreciate that, brother.
Thank you, brother. I want to add into the fact that he said black people are all over the place. I'm going to have to disagree right now. They had Popeye's chicken trying to get their chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's the worst, man. Man, and, I mean, golly. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you guys.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you. I don't know if you guys actually caught. There was, you know, in the whole melee and everybody trying to go get that chicken sandwich, there was a person that went in to get, like, a regular chicken box and from Popeye's, and he popped it open. And he had maggots and worms, all kind of stuff coming out of the chicken. So we were talking about, again, asking questions, putting your tahuti up, putting your umpu up, being analytical, observing what it is rather than, I don't give a damn, and I'm just going to eat it, and I'm just going to do it. Even allowing this to work for our relationships. Our women, we got to stop eating anything. Our men, we have to stop taking anything, any type of woman. So I think this is the core foundation.
I like what you said, putting your ampoule up. I like that. That's the protector.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one thing we can get organized about for the most part is when it comes to a damn cookout and some food, hot wings and some chicken wings,
Football and some crab legs.
And yeah, we can get real organized when it comes to those things. Now, if we could take that same energy into
other things,
we'll be a very powerful people. Because, I mean, our community just made Popeye's millions of dollars in the last
week.
Right.
Brother.
So. Now, if they had to take that same money and got together and put it into a bank account to start a business, or we could create wealth in each community. Everybody from each kind of take that, what it costs to get that chicken sandwich, and they got together and say, we're going to put this money in a pot, and we're going to decide what business we're going to open up as a team.
That's right.
That would be multi-million-dollar businesses started overnight. Right there. But instead, we're all in line. I mean, making them go. They so bad, they telling people right ahead, we ain't got no chicken sandwiches no more. We, you know, they tell them we can't get it no
and
more.
And then people fighting. They going to beat you up because they can't get chicken sandwich. I'm going to risk going, taking my ass to jail because I can't get this doggone chicken sandwich. And when we talk, I don't know if you guys knew this, like 3 or 4 years ago, Bill Gates and the Clintons, they were talking about, you know, the culling the population. And they were actually talking about providing some type of chicken for black folks. You understand? Talking about this will be a way to start killing off. And guess what?
They're hurting us. We're being hurted.
Right.
We're being hurted.
Right.
That's all we're being hurted. Hurted. Just like, and here's the thing. And we only got a couple of minutes. What I teach is I have come to the decision I'm only going to start helping a select few people with certain information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I teach
on
a general level, give out information, go research this, but the more harder information that's really going to help and get you free is going to select a few group of people, because the problem is you get too many people in your circuit, they end up messing you up or getting you killed or getting you in trouble.
Ask Joshua when he
picked his 12 disciples.
That's right.
Every last one of them, they don't want to talk about, but every last one of them turned on him. And how do you know?
They weren't there
when his ass was getting jacked up. They weren't there. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is we got to get to a point where, okay, there's people that are just going to do whatever and forget about them. And the ones that really want to make something happen need to get together and start. What's going to fix this? You need money. I'm sorry, without money, you ain't going nowhere. You can forget it. You need money. But
that's
a group of people that work together and putting their money together and not worried about let jealousy and distrust get in the way of their progress. That's what because usually that's what hurts us mostly, jealousy and distrust. usually
that's right.
ends a very good relationship when it comes to us. But, you know, other groups of people don't allow jealousy and distrust to get in the way. They do. All of them, everybody got jealousy and distrust in their communities, no matter what who you
that's
are.
That's right.
But other groups mm-hmm. don't allow it to interfere with their pockets or their money.
They
won't kill a relationship just because this guy made a dollar more than them. You know, at the end of the day, they're going to continue to make money whether they like that person or not. And our problem
right.
is we'll blow up the whole block for $1.
That's right. $1.
$1, you know.
Yeah.
And when we can get $1,000 over here. But it's $1, we'll sacrifice $999 for $1 because you didn't get $1. And I had an old guy teach me that. He said, man, he said to me, because I actually, like, we did business and he owed me about $50. And I said, hey, man, where my $50? And called him up early in the morning, getting on his case. And he was an older guy. He pulled me to the side. He said, listen, man, number one, don't be calling my house asking me for no damn money early in the morning. That's number one. He gonna say, this is when we still had men who talk straight. And I was young. I was in my
20s. Right.
Then he said,
right.
listen, he pulled out all of the invoices where we were making all this money. He said, see all this money we making right here? You gonna mess up our relationship over $50? Even if I forgot about the $50, I didn't pay you the $50. You gonna mess all these thousands of dollars we making over here for just $50. And for a minute, I got offended. For a second, I got offended. Then I pulled back, and I really thought about what he was saying. And he was right.
That's
even
right.
if he wasn't giving me the $50, we were still making a lot of money together. And I'm
mm-hmm.
nickel and diming over $50. He said, man, we've been working together too long to be nickel and diming each other. Don't, I ain't going to nickel and dime you, and you don't nickel and dime me. You know, if you owe me $50, I'll get it back somehow. We'll get it down the line, and then after that, we had this understanding. But he was in his 60s at the time, and I was in my 20s. So it was an older elder teaching me how to look at shit. We got to start
That's
looking
right.
at things in a more mature way, you know? But with that being said, it's 11:02, and I got another meeting I got to get on. He said, hey, brother,
hey,
thanks for chiming in.
All right.
Hey, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you for calling
hey,
in.
Hey, Solomon, give out your information. You let people get so they know where you're at.
Yeah. We in Columbia, 5616 Tunash Road.
Hey, bro, hold on, man. I'm in Columbia,
okay.
too, bro. I'm coming to Solomon's Temple, bro. I'll be down at St. Cool's or at Sphinx Paul, bro. I'm coming down there to holler at you, man.
Yeah, come in,
bro. Okay, yeah.
You down on Arcadia Lakes, right?
Right in front of
okay. you. Okay. Bro, I'm coming down there. Give me some time today, bro. I'll be down there to holler at you, G.
Hey, that sounds
okay.
good, brother.
Yes, sir.
All
hey,
right,
I
man,
love coming
God.
Up with
Y'all
you, brother, man.
One.
Yes, sir. Peace.
Okay. Hey, peace and power.
Peace. All right.